Hey guys, how you living? You doing well? Good. Glad to hear that. In this episode, Brother Will Ness stopped by to talk about music and life and songwriting and songs and John Mayer albums and all kinds of cool stuff. And we played a couple of our original tunes as well. So definitely be stoked for this episode because it's a great one. We kept it right under the 2-hour mark. And we didn't ramble on too much. There was we stayed on topic, and I think it was a good episode. I'm very proud of how it turned out. So you should be excited. Please go to the Instagram and follow Will Ness Music. I think it's Will Ness Music. Maybe there's some underscores involved. I'm sure if you type that in, you'll be able to find it on Instagram and on Facebook. And also simply Will Ness if you guys want to follow him personally. I think that just like most of us, we probably do the most posting on our personal pages. So that's probably the way to do that. But follow those at Will Ness Music on Instagram and probably Facebook as well. Like I said, if you search that, you'll be able to find the right spot. But please go to mistuffpodcast.com and check out all the cool things that are there. I've just recently revamped the website and got everything going cool there. So please stop by and check that out. And also, all the social media links to my personal page and the podcast page and the blog and all that stuff can be found at mistuffpodcast.com, as well as the link to the YouTube page where you can subscribe for the new content. So there's that. Also, you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen, live from the Screwball Whiskey Studios. Want to give a big shout out to our brothers over at screwballwhiskey.com. Congratulations on making it nationwide now. Screwball Whiskey is now available at your front door. You can just simply go to screwballwhiskey.com, screwballwhiskey.com, or just Google Screwball Whiskey and you'll see a bunch of links at the top of where to buy it. And I suggest you do that because if you like whiskey and peanut butter, it's a pretty good combination, so I'm told. I quit drinking before it came out, so I haven't officially tasted it yet, but I've heard great things about it. Screwball Whiskey, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow's stories begin right here. Screwballwhiskey.com. MIStuffPodcast.com. Thank you guys for hanging out. Appreciate every single one of you if you would go and review on the Apple Podcast page, if you would go and subscribe on the YouTube page and just leave reviews on any of the where podcasts are available. Please do that for me and I would certainly appreciate it. But anyway, we got things to do and people to see, ladies and gentlemen, so we're going to get out of here and get out of your way and let you go ahead and get to some content. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, episode number 159 of the MI Stuff Podcast featuring Will Ness. Enjoy, motherfuckers. Nothing wrong with that, man. That's where I started. So audio folks, you're just now catching on with us. If you guys want to hear any of the beginning content, you'll have to go to the YouTube video to do that. And I suggest you go to YouTube and search MI Stuff Podcast by Kelsey Hudgens and click subscribe, please. Also, I know I've just said this in the intro, but just in case you skip past that, I like to do that a lot. Please go to mistuffpodcast.com. And just in case something happens and you have something to do, Brother Will Ness in the house.
What's going on, Will?
Where can the folks find you on social media real quick?
Find me on Facebook, Will Ness Music. You can add me as a friend. I honestly post more on my personal page about music than on my music page. And then also Instagram, Will Ness Music. I've gotten some followers on that, so that's been nice. And WillNessMusic@gmail.com if you need to reach out to me. That's where I'm at.
Right on. Well,
yeah, brother.
Well, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we were just discussing playing music in church, yes. And Brother Will is...
Brother Will, I love it.
Dude, that's...
I love it.
Brother Will is doing the church band thing. I was just about to say before I went live on audio, but I wanted to get this, that's where the monsters are.
Yeah.
Dude, like, that's where you want to talk about the dude that'll just shred you, like, over and over. And that's where the monsters are.
Yeah.
They all play in church.
Well, that's the best place to be, I suppose.
So you are amongst giants, my friend.
There
that's
we go.
That's where I started, man. I graduated from a Christian school. I like my dad's very like almost a pastor.
Yeah.
And I grew up doing church music. And even down here, one of my first jobs was Ocean Drive Presbyterian Church.
Really?
In North Myrtle Beach. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. I grew up in church as well, playing in church, and My interest in music, period, got started with Christian and gospel music. One day my mom brought home the album Declaration by Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Oh, yeah.
With la, 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 live out loud, and all that. And that got me into it. And him and, like, Third Day, Jeremy Camp, Chris Tomlin.
I am a thief.
Yeah. And even, like, Tamela Mann on, like, the more gospel side of things. You know who she is?
I've heard the name.
She did a great cover of I Can Only Imagine, and she's just got a powerhouse voice, man.
Dude, I've seen those guys. I remember when I Can Only Imagine came out before it was, like, huge.
Yeah.
That those guys were going around playing at churches for love offerings.
Yeah, dude, for, like, gas and a meal.
They would show up and play for love offerings. And for those not familiar with that, that means that a band would show up to a church and the church would pass around the offering plate, and just whatever they raised was what the band got paid.
Yeah.
Like, that's just... That was a big deal back in the day, man.
I respect that a lot, because I don't know if I could do that right now.
We're spoiled in this area.
We are.
Because we and I've talked about this to just about all the musicians that I've had on the podcast, is just this area is so much different as far as working musicians being able to get paid a decent wage.
Yeah.
Like, here is unlike a lot of other places.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
That I've heard of, anyway.
Well, I'm hearing about, like, places in Nashville and Los Angeles where, like, you pay to play.
Right.
Even. And
right.
Then, you know, but then even some of those Broadway gigs on Nashville, I know a guy who does those, and he's like, man, I'm, you know, the bar will pay me, like, $50 for 4 hours if I'm lucky.
Right.
If they have a good time, or if they have a good night. So a lot of times those guys are solely relying on tips. And here, I mean, you know, we have a guarantee, which is awesome. You know?
Yeah, that's so nice. Like,
yeah,
just knowing that we can walk into a place, and then we don't do bad in tips either. Because,
yeah, exactly.
You know, that's a big part of our pay here.
And then you're, like, making a living. You know,
exactly.
It's really nice.
You know what? Whatever keeps the people clapping.
There you go.
Whatever keeps them coming back.
There you go.
Whatever keeps them coming back.
So I wanted to talk about one of the podcasts I watched was Trippy Gang.
Yeah.
So I know all those guys.
I love those guys.
I went to high school with those guys: Vincent Davis, Donovan Sindab, Matt Holzclaw, and I think it was it Tremo? Mo Drayton.
Yeah,
he was on there. So here's a story. When I was a little kid, I started playing music, but then I was an athlete in high school, or like late middle school, early high school, and then music kind of got my heart again.
Yeah.
And I have to give really Vincent and Matt credit, because part of me getting back into music was me being friends with those guys.
That's awesome, man.
Me and Vince and Matt and Donovan and a guy named Brandon Valentine, we started like a little, it was like a hip hop group.
Yeah.
And it was called, it was called Class of 14, and then it was like Polo Boy something, and it was a lot of fun, man. And it, like, we would go, like, in Vincent's dad had like a little studio set up in his house in Pawleys Island.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like just like a little, it was like a giant walk-in closet.
Yeah, because his dad was like a legit rapper in the area back in the day,
back
from
in
what
the day,
he told me. I remember that. We talked about that in the podcast.
Yeah. So, you know, we were really good friends, and we hung out all the time and got into all kinds of trouble, but we were always like in the studio and, you know, making music. And I mean, none of us were really good at that point, but it was really just about the love of it and practicing it and practicing, you know, songwriting and, you know, being in the studio and just, I think, also practicing that part of your mind that's always, like, as a songwriter, you're never not writing. Like, you're always writing.
Absolutely.
It's always moving, you know? It's like a conveyor belt, you know, of constant thoughts. And even when you're dry, you're still going. Like, even, you know, I'll pick up my guitar or sit at a piano, and I'll, you know, a lot of times the chorus kind of comes first for me.
Yep.
Sometimes it's different, but a lot of times I'll get it and then I'll be like, all right, I'm gonna walk away from this, go on a walk, or just go about my day. But always constantly in the back of your mind, you're
always rattling around.
And then you're like, oh, there's that line. You pick up the guitar, you know, 4 hours later when you get home from the gig,
right?
And it's there, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing that I've always said is that we, as songwriters, are rarely ever writing these songs. We just so happen to be the one that grabs it as it goes by.
Yeah, for sure.
We just so happen to be the one that just reaches out and grabs that line as it travels by.
Right, absolutely.
But yeah, I'm pretty much the same way. But sometimes the chorus comes first.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like the first line, and over the last 7 days, I have went to the beach every single day, and I've walked a mile, and that's something that I don't do.
That's great, though, man.
But I'm just trying to do something better, more about this thing right here, and trying to live a little longer, maybe. I'm not as sad as I once was, and I kind of want this thing to prolong a little longer, so.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I've been thinking about that a lot lately, too, like. My girlfriend and I were just talking about this, you know, both of us, you know, obviously live it, like working in the bar industry as we do. You know, it's kind of, you know, it's not the most healthy, health inspiring life, I guess you could say.
It isn't.
And, so, I mean, I was actually just Instagram messaging somebody about trying to get on a workout plan and a diet plan. And it's funny because I'm only 23, but I'm already looking ahead to that and looking.
That's good.
And I'm already facing, like, I already think about my own mortality, like, every day, honestly, like, as depressing as that might sound, you know, let's be real, you know, we're all going to die one day. We all want to be here as long as we can with the people we love. And Chelsea and I, we were just talking about that, like, yesterday, honestly, man. Like,
dude, it's funny, man. Just when you get to the point, I'll be 33 this year.
Okay.
And I drank so hard. I don't know if you knew me when I was drinking, but probably not. Because I've been off the sauce for like about 3.5 years now.
Oh, congratulations, so, brother.
Thanks, man.
That's a huge, huge achievement.
Yeah. Sponsored by Screwball Whiskey, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
Our lovely sponsors out of Ocean Beach, California. Stop by screwballwhiskey.com, SKREWBallWhiskey.com, and get yourself some peanut butter whiskey. Tomorrow's stories begin right here. But yeah, dude, when I was drinking, man, I was just like, I was trying to drink myself to death. I was like, I was just depressed. I was sad. And I was like, I wasn't. And my listeners know this, and I don't know how much you've listened to, but I talk about this a lot. Like, I've been to the point where I was like, you know, I'm not gonna off myself or anything like that. I'm not gonna do that. I'm not to that point. But if it died right now, I wouldn't care. So I got to that point, and I was just like, you know, I'm just trying to cut this thing short. I'm trying to get out of here. But now I said, you know, I'm not as sad as I once was. Yeah. I want to sort of prolong this thing.
Yeah, brother.
You know.
Yeah. Well, you also you have a gift, man. The fact that, I mean, you have a great voice.
I appreciate it. So do you, man. Dude, your voice was legend before I met you, just so you know.
Really?
Yes.
I appreciate that, man.
People were talking about your voice before I met you, which I think the first night we actually talked was at the pit
the band.
Yep.
Are you doing that this year?
I think so.
Dude, I am so stoked for that. That is the best night of the year.
It is. It's fun, man.
It's such a great, great time. Just seeing all those people. And,
yeah.
You know, how can I say this? Let's just put it this way. Everybody who... There's a lot of good people in the music scene.
Yes, there are.
In Myrtle Beach, Merle's Inlet, Pauly's Island, this whole Grand Strand area. And a lot of them show up at that, you know. And I think Doc Simon's really... I mean, there's a special spot in heaven for him.
All
just
right.
Because he started that, man. Just because he's
1,000%.
Bringing people together for one night to... celebrate an awesome catalog of music with one of the greatest bands of all time.
Right.
But then just also bringing us together for us to appreciate each other and make friendships, you know, because we all see each other in passing.
Right.
And we all see each other online with the gigs and stuff. But I think it's really important that we all know each other personally.
Right.
Because, you know, the truth of the matter is I don't really have a lot of friends that I see a lot that are in the scene. Like, I think Connor might be the only one, and my friend Rory, John Zach, we talk a good bit. But, like, I mean, a lot of guys who, like, really, like, hustle.
Right.
Like...
They don't have time for friends.
We don't have time for friends.
We don't have time
like,
for it.
Like, a lot of my friends are people that I knew, like, before all of it. And so it's really cool to, like, sit down and, like I can't wait to... like if we start playing songs here in a little bit to hear you. And obviously, yeah, I remember, so I got to tell you something, and you're probably going to laugh. So I was a senior in high school, right? And I remember I would play at the Pit sometimes. I had a band called Project Nine with a guy named Bryson Grove. Do you know Bryson?
Sounds familiar.
And William Caswell and a couple other buddies, and we would play there sometimes, but we would always hang around the Pit.
Yeah.
So we were there a lot. Like, we would rehearse, and then we'd like, all right, let's go to the Pit, let's get a burger, and let's listen to whoever's playing. And I remember one time, I remember you were there, and I remember it was you, it was Smitty on the little conga. Is that what it?
The djembe.
The djembe.
Yeah.
That's what it is, my bad. And I think you guys play with one other guy, too, sometimes?
Yeah, Adam. Adam. Was it an acoustic player or an electric player?
It was
player?
Acoustic, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been Adam.
So that was like the Cornbread Trio?
Yeah, that's the original three.
So I remember, this is so bad, man. I remember requesting Slow Dancing in a Burning Room by John Mayer, you playing it, you killing it.
Oh, right on, man. And then, I love that song.
And then I didn't know at the time, because it was before I really started playing, I didn't know at the time that it's like kind of rude to like request two songs back to back and not give a tip. So I requested another one, and I remember you looking at me like, man, who the hell is this guy right here? I'll never forget that, bro.
Wait, no, what was the song? Because that might have...
It was, like, I think the one you played was Slow Dancing in a Burning Room, and then I think I requested another John Mayer, because we were, like, super into John Mayer at that point. And,
I'm pretty sure I probably would have done that.
Oh, you did? You played it.
I just love John Mayer.
Yeah, I just remember, like...
I just look like that, man.
Yeah, man.
I just look that way.
I just remember that, man. Like, I swear, it was so funny. But I remember thinking, I was like, man, like, I want to get where these guys are at and be playing here. Because I think you guys, like, I saw you guys there more than once way back in the day.
Oh,
like,
yeah. We used to play there a bunch. Now, I definitely was drinking then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, I played... Yeah, we played back there a bunch, man, back in the day.
Yeah, dude.
We got to a point, though, to where... we got to a point to where our calendar was getting full early on in the year.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't have room for a lot of those dates at places that we like to play like that until, like, later on in the season. Because most of those places just – once you do this thing for a long time, you'll realize that if they don't – what up, paperwork in the house?
P-Dub watching?
How you don't got no wrench? Let's get him a wrench. But once the longer you do this thing, the like earlier in the season your calendar fills up. So like once other places, you know, will come and say, hey, we want this band on these nights, be like, well we don't have any of those.
What's going on at ESPN, bro?
Mike Foldenevich went 2 for 5 with a 6. Okay, so we picked him back up from Gwinnett. Good. So he can throw the ball for somebody to knock 4 home runs off of. Jesus, the Braves are killing me, man. We're doing really great. Vegas has got us at 1,000 at plus 1,000 to win the World Series, but that's fine. We're not going to go down that road.
I don't know a lot of baseball, to be honest. I'm kind of a basketball guy.
I hear you, man. It's going to be an interesting season to watch with Zion in New Orleans, man, and whatever's going on in L.A., it's going to be a great season.
The NBA just – so I really haven't been paying attention to the NBA. Some of it because I, you know, have been really busy. I was in school. I was playing these gigs, and I didn't have a lot of time to really pay attention.
Yeah.
But I always would listen to, like, the podcast and listen to, like, Undisputed and First Take in the car. And – But I remember thinking, man, I'm getting bored with this. Because every year it was Cleveland, Golden State. Then LeBron left. Then last year was kind of an outlier. But I'm really excited to see what happens, man. Because like the whole league just changed.
Yeah,
I mean, you got Kawhi and Paul George with the Clippers.
Right.
You got LeBron and AD in LA. And they just picked up Danny Green from Toronto.
Jesus.
Which was a really underrated pickup.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Golden State has a lot to prove.
Dude, the whole NBA is going to be right there in that little pocket.
It's exactly what just happened is exactly what needed to happen. The entire league needed. And then
now,
KD. And see, it's so crazy because KD, I didn't even mention KD. He went to Brooklyn with Kyrie.
Right.
That's how much stuff's going on that I forgot about that. You know
what
I'm saying?
What's crazy is I wonder if LA got pulled out in that lottery and they were just like, this just can't happen.
I wouldn't be surprised, bro.
If they were just like, this just can't happen, and then they pulled the next name out, and it was like New Orleans, and we're like, okay, that's the one we're gonna go with.
Well, I felt back for the Knicks, man. The Knicks,
oh,
too.
Man, you know
they
what?
They wanted Zion so bad.
They can't catch a break to save their lives, man. With the whole like Carmelo fiasco and all that stuff. Like he was supposed to be your boy.
Yeah.
And he don't do the Knicks. And I was always a Knicks fan because of Patrick Ewing, man. I love Patrick Ewing back in the day. I picked him on Space Jam. Well, he was my favorite.
He shouldn't have missed that layup, bro. Who was that against? Was that against was that against Detroit or Indiana?
I don't know, man.
I just know he missed a layup. And
Will Ness Rock, says Beth Neck. Beth Ness.
Oh, that's my mom. Thank
you. What's up, Mom?
Oh my God.
Mom gets a wrench.
There we go.
Mom gets a wrench. But
Pepper. Oh yeah, Pepper. So I don't know if you know Pepper, but she just she's now officially Paperwork's manager, and she works up at House of Blues, and she's a super awesome person.
Right,
I just want to give her a shout out. What's good, Pepper?
What's up, Pepper? Peppermint Patty. Peppermint Candy. Pepper. When you talking about Pepper, I thought you were talking about the white boy reggae stuff.
Oh, no, I don't know about that.
I don't either.
What's up with that?
I don't know, man. I don't mess with it.
So, man, tell me about songwriting, man. What's going on in your creative universe right now? You said you're working on an album?
Yes. I've got an album called That Way Lies Madness. That's just pretty much about, it's a compilation of songs that I've written over the course of, like, trying to get sober from alcohol and then trying to get sober from the drugs that I picked up after I stopped doing alcohol.
Right.
And then just a long, strewn out process of that, and a lot of thoughts that I've had, and a lot of very personal songs that I had that just won't work for the band setting. And I've just been sitting on them forever, and I was doing nothing with them, and I'm just sitting here all the time with all this recording equipment, and I felt it foolish not to do something about that. So
is this like your Luke the Drifter type stuff?
Yes.
That's awesome, dude.
Yes. This is 1,000% my Luke the Drifter.
That's awesome,
and this most of this record is written from the viewpoint of a guy who lives on a farm around turn of the century in Oklahoma. Like, I don't know why. I don't know why that's where it ended up. I don't have family in Oklahoma. I don't know anything about it.
So you're writing a record from the perspective of that
sort
character.
Of.
That's awesome.
Sort of. It's, but I don't feel that way. I feel like something else is writing it from within me. Like there's stories in these songs that are specific, and I don't have anything to equate that to in my own life. You know,
like you have no reason why you should be writing those things.
Right.
That's
right.
That's awesome, man.
And I don't know why they're coming out that way, but they are. So. But I've been doing that a lot lately, and most of them just end up being poems because I don't write with a guitar.
Really?
Yeah, I write words first because I don't want to be, because I like Jason Isbell and John Moreland a lot, you know, and they play simple guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
Their chord progressions are simple, you know.
Yeah,
they're
chord progressions.
They don't let the music get in the way of the song and the story,
right.
And I really like that. So I didn't want to sit down on my guitar and just play the same progression that I've heard a thousand times. I'd rather get the words down and let the words choose how the cadence of the thing has to go.
I totally feel you on that, man.
Yeah.
I've been writing my own tunes since, like, I picked up a guitar.
That's great, man.
I was 8 years old when I started playing, and my mom signed me up for guitar lessons, and, you know, I think I didn't take them very long because I wouldn't practice, like, what the guy was trying to teach me.
Yeah.
I would just come in and be like, you know, here's a G and a C, and then I write a song with that.
Yeah.
So I started doing that, and then, you know, the whole break happened through high school, but then picked it back up, started writing again with guitar, and then also to tracks, you know, with those boys in Trippy Gang. And so then, you know, we kind of went our separate ways, and I kept doing my guitar, and I try to write at piano sometimes. But at this point now, like, I kind of find myself in my journey. I'm kind of in a rut at the moment of, like, writing. Well, maybe I'm not, but I feel like I'm in a rut trying to write alone right now. So I've been doing a lot of co-writing, trying to figure that out. And, you know, on the other side of that, you know, Nashville is something that I've been thinking about too, trying to move there, trying to get into that whole wild goose chase of, you know, maybe trying to do a publishing deal.
Yeah.
Or get a publishing deal. And when you do that, obviously you're co-writing with people.
Yeah.
All the time. So I've been co-writing with a buddy of mine, Rory John Zach, and co-wrote a tune with Brad Long the other day. Co-writing with a guy named Sean Bilton down in Pauly's Island.
Yeah.
And just trying to practice it. And, you know, it's really – co-writing is like a really cool thing. It can be a really cool thing because it's like you're just kind of throwing, you know, crap against the wall to see what sticks. But then, you know, when you find what sticks – it can turn into just, all right, here's one line, and then the other guy spits out another line, and then you spit out a line, and it's just like, it's like an exchange of energy, and it's really cool when you
that is interesting.
You know, sometimes it's kind of like fishing, you know, you're just kind of sitting there, and you know, I mean, but that's the amazing thing about these writers in Nashville. They're just, I mean, they walk in, there's you know, you might not never met this guy before, but it's straight to business, and it's like, you know. You can get a great song written in an hour, and I'm trying to get there. You know what I'm saying? That's really why I've been trying to co-write, and just to get there and practice that skill, but also for that experience. You know?
Yeah. Now, I wonder, is the Nashville what makes you want to do the Nashville thing? What makes you want to go there?
So a little history.
Okay.
When I got out of high school, I went to Belmont University.
Okay.
In Nashville, and I was in the songwriting program there.
Okay.
But I was only there for a semester because it was just a lot, you know, an 18-year-old kid, and I definitely have like some anxiety and stuff like that. And,
oh yeah.
You know, I was
that
really,
comes with a musician,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, and so I was a long way from home. I was also dealing, if I'm being totally honest with you, I was dealing with a long-term toxic relationship with a girl from home. And when I left, you know, we were together. And then, of course, I get there. I move in. And 2 weeks later, she's like, all right, I met another guy. Peace out. Yeah. And so that was really hard for me to deal with.
Oh, yeah. That's the best writing fuel, though.
It really was. But so I came home. And a lot of people looked at me funny when I did. But I think that it was the right move because I came home. And I became the person that I was supposed to become.
Right.
And I grew as a man, but also as a songwriter. And I got a job. Every day I was working at my job, I was listening to the radio. And we were listening to one of those stations that has everything from, like, Jim Croce and Dylan to, like, the Beatles and the Eagles and the Band and Ray Charles and that kind of music. So I kind of learned. And then sometimes they would change it to, like, 97.7. So I started to get an idea of, like, what is a great song, but then also, like,
what do people like today?
Exactly.
Right.
And what are the rules of popular music?
Yeah.
Not that that's even important in what a good song is, but for, like, what I want to do, I feel like I do want to go and I do want to have a career writing songs with people who are famous and who and maybe one day become one of them. But that's certainly not my end-all be-all. Like, if I stay here and write and play my gigs, you know, and continue to grow as a person and as a musician.
Yeah.
I know that that's a great life.
Right.
But I also, like, I'm curious and I have a desire to take that next step and go from playing, you know, cover gigs as my job to writing tunes and playing original shows and doing that for my job. And I know that that's a huge step. And a lot of times especially lately, you know, you try to balance, like, you know, everybody says, you know, go for your dream, do your dream.
Right.
But then on the other hand of that, it's like, I have bills,
you know,
and I you have the reality of it. And I look at it and I say, well, I'm already blessed enough because I get to make my bread playing music.
Right.
You know, and like living, you know, in Pauly's and Merle's Inlet. I mean, you know, there's some expensive places, but there's some places that you can get by, you know, and make a living and make rent and,
absolutely,
you know, and have a good life. And like, you know, lately, like, I've been doing a lot of fishing and I've been trying to do other things besides music to stimulate, I guess, my brain and try to, I guess, re-energize my passion for not only music, but like life. Because I think that sometimes I'm not going to speak for you, but I think that sometimes I definitely get burnt out. You know, I mean,
oh, dude,
you're playing, you know, I mean, you're playing 10 nights a week. You know what you feel me on that? Like,
dude, I'll go weeks without turning on any sort of music.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
Just silence.
Yeah.
Just because I get burnt out, but I didn't want to cut you off.
No, you're good, man. I mean, but I just like, sometimes I do get burnt out with some of these gigs. Not that I'm not grateful for them. Yeah. I'm grateful for every gig I have. I'm grateful for all the people who hook me up with the gigs I have, you know, the booking agents and, you know, the bartenders who do the bookings at the bars. I love them. But,
yeah,
you know, it is. I mean, people come to Myrtle Beach, you know, because they want a vacation and they want to hear the tunes they want to hear. And, you know, I understand that. I'm not necessarily mad at that. But it's like I have a voice, too. Like, at 100%. Some point, Sweet Home Alabama, that was an original tune that people didn't want to hear.
Yeah.
But then they recorded it, they produced it up, and it's a great song that, you know, people ask for every time I pick up a guitar. But it's like I have my own voice, and I'm significant as a human being as well. And my song,
right,
you know, should be heard. I want to chase that, man. You know, I'm 23. I'm young, and I know that I have a lot of licks to take still.
Yeah.
I know that I have a lot of doors that are still going to be closed in my face, but, like, I have all the confidence in the world that if you plot me there and you give me a couple years, I can make something happen.
Right.
You know?
That's one thing, too, I've noticed about people asking for those songs. I don't think that they want to hear those songs as much as they just want to ask you for a song they know that you know so that they can feel like they've also contributed to...
Yeah.
The show.
Maybe so, yeah.
In a way.
I've never thought about it like that.
I think that's the core of why they want to ask for that. And I don't think they even realize that.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, you know, we're going to get the same dozen requests
gig. Absolutely.
You know, people are going to want to hear Sweet Home. They're going to want to hear Simple Man. They're going to want to hear Tennessee Whiskey. They're going to want the Wagon Wheel.
Yeah.
Or mostly like a Brown Eyed Girl or West Virginia, like a Country Roads or something like that. They're going to ask for the same. They're going to ask for the same few songs over and over. And I actually have said this a couple times on the podcast that I think that people are just not so much interested in hearing those songs as they are just, I know that this person will play this song. Everybody else in the room will see me ask for this song. So if everybody else in the room enjoys this song that I've asked for, it's almost the same thing as them putting a dollar in a jukebox and playing a song and here seeing everybody's head start nodding. They feel like they've contributed to the room as well.
Well, see, that's the core of my position. I don't want to be a jukebox.
Right.
I want to be an artist.
Same here.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, again, I'm not complaining about it because I could be, you know, working some other job that I didn't want to work.
Yeah.
But, you know, it there is a fire inside of me. But then at the same time, it's balancing that seesaw of, you know, I got this fire inside of me. I got this passion. I know it's going to be hard. I know it's going to cost money.
Yes.
But then there's that other side of it. It's like, well, I could stay here. I could grow where I'm planted and I could, and who knows what will happen, you know? So I'm still trying to figure things out on my end. I know I'm not going to move like, probably not until probably next spring, but if not then, maybe after the summer, because I mean, summer in Myrtle Beach, I mean,
dude, you can't
dude, and it's
turn
it's,
down the
dude,
money.
It's free money, man. I mean, we get tired of playing, but it's like, dude, you go play a gig for 3-4 hours.
Yeah.
And you
do what you were gonna be doing at home anyway.
Yeah, bro. I mean, it's like, you know, it's just, but I got a question for you. Has the gigs, because I mean, you've definitely hustled, right?
Oh yeah.
You hustle. So
well, have Scott hustles and I just go.
Yeah.
So
I got you. So, I mean, has playing every day these gigs, has it ever taken a toll on your passion for it?
Yes, absolutely. When it got to a point to where, and I had to have a talk with, Smitty about it, because me and him play together, and Adam really doesn't care. He'll do whatever.
Yeah.
But me and Smitty had this talk one time on the way back from a trip we did to Boone, and I was like, bro, if we have to keep doing these same few songs that we're doing, like, I'm going to lose my fucking mind. Forget my French. Excuse me. But
no, you're good, dog.
But, like, I'm going to lose my mind if we don't change this up. Like, and now we've got to the point to where, you know, if Smitty's got he's pretty good about keeping 5 or 6 songs on like a mental tally that he can pull out at any time when we don't know what to do next. So we don't make set lists or anything like that.
Yeah,
they're pointless.
Same.
They're pointless.
Yeah.
And he's pretty good about that, but like I've like gotten to the point where I'm like, dude, we're just gonna have to do different stuff. We're gonna have to keep this thing changed around, right, or I'm gonna lose my mind. I can't do this anymore. So we started getting to the point to where we would start off every gig by saying, we're Cornbread. Anything you want to hear, feel free to holler it out. I'll tell you what we're not going to do. We're not going to do Tennessee Whiskey. We're not going to do Wagon Wheel. We're not going to do those songs that you can hear on the radio on the way home. I said, if you want to hear any of those songs, you can go to any of these bars around this area.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you that you'll find you a band that'll be happy to play it, but that ain't us.
Dude, I respect you for saying that.
And
I do. I respect you for that.
But see, that's the thing is, and I'll even say it, just like you said, I have a voice too.
Yeah.
That's me here saying, like, guys, I understand that y'all might not see me a lot, but I do this thing every day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I have to keep it interesting. I have to keep this thing interesting or I get bored.
It's about you too. It's not just about them.
Right. Once I get bored of something, it's over. Like, that, it's over for me. Once I get bored, it's...
So Scott doesn't mind that you like say that on like you say that on his gigs?
Yeah.
And he doesn't care.
We've been with Scott for almost a decade now.
That's dope, man.
The phone keeps ringing.
Yeah. There you go, bro.
That's the thing, is to keep the phone ringing. And you know what's funny is we get more applause from saying that. And when somebody asks for Sweet Home Alabama or Simple Man, we'll give them All I Can Do Is Write About It or Tuesday's Gone or something like that. You know, we're not going to do that one, but we'll do another great song by the man that you want to hear.
I feel you.
And then I'll call that one like a sacrifice fly, Runner's Advance. and then, you know, I don't know. It starts the conversation. You'll find out more that people want to hear that people want to hear something different. They just didn't know that they wanted to.
Yeah, yeah. I feel you on that. So do you ever play your originals?
I've started recently. I used to not do that. I used to not do that at all, just because they were like deep.
Yeah.
Like very deep. And I felt like for me to play my originals that are kind of, you know, my originals are dark.
They're dark.
It sort of would bring down
the vibe.
I wouldn't be doing my job correctly if I were to play a lot of my originals, just because my job is to keep the room at a certain, you know, homeostasis, and absolutely, I would not be doing that with my originals.
Well, I play my originals at all my gigs. I don't bore the crowd.
So right.
I'm not gonna do like. There are venues that I will play an entire set of originals. Like, one is Island Bar and Grill Surfside.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you ever played there, but that is a awesome place to play. Brandon Bouchard has opened the greatest bar, in my opinion, on the face of the planet. I love playing there. They've got a great following of locals. And some of my first, like, fans have come from there. And they'll follow me around some. But every time I'm playing there, I'm seeing the same, you know, 20 to 30 people, and they'll hang out all night. And it's really cool that, I mean, look, again, I know that, you know, people have jobs to do.
Yeah.
You know, some of these booking agents who, you know, they book us to play the tunes people want to hear at the venues that want us to play those tunes, and I get it. But it is nice to have, like, an oasis for artists.
Oh, yeah.
At some of these venues, and they're out there. They are out there, like, you know, Island Bar being one of them, so I can't speak on that place enough. I know Sweet Sweet does a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, they do.
And you know,
Brian
Russler does a lot. I see the Brian Russler hat.
Yeah,
right there. Yeah, shout out to him, by the way. To what a local legend that
guy
is.
Brian was the one that put me on in the very beginning.
Really,
like, he did. He used to host this open mic at a place called The Living Room.
Yeah, yeah.
In Myrtle Beach, and when I first came down here in 2006, he was the. He was the man back then, you know. He was what he is now back then, you know.
Yeah.
He's always been that.
Yeah, he's a legend for sure, man. He's just such a connoisseur of original music and you know, such a
good brain.
Yeah, and such a supportive human being too.
He really is.
I mean, he'll keep it real and like he'll call a spade a spade, but I mean, just like I've known Brian, we did a writer's round. It was me, Brian, and I think it was Alex Lawson or Craig Kiefer at the Pauly's Island Tavern when I was like 17 or maybe 16 or something. And you know, I met him there, and he was just the nicest, most down-to-earth guy.
He really
and,
is.
He definitely, I remember that day, he definitely, we had a conversation, he said a few things that were, like, way over my head. He's a really smart guy.
Yeah, he is.
Super smart, intellectual dude, and I respect him endlessly, because he's one of those people who put me on as well.
Yeah.
And encouraged me, and, you know, even my originals were terrible. He was just like, man, just keep writing, you know. And he, I remember him telling me the fact that you can put a whole song together, even if it's not that great, the fact that you can put a whole song together, like
knowing the process is a lot of the work.
Yeah, man. And then at that point, it's just repetition,
right?
You know, it's
You know, like I've got songs that I wrote the first year that I really started writing.
Yeah,
and I've still got a few of those songs that. I was one of those guys. So when I was 18 or 19 years old, I graduated high school and recorded this solo out EP, like five songs, and I paid too much money for five songs, man. It was like $1,500 for a five song EP, and
I have a story like that as well.
And yeah, it was just $1,500 for a five song EP, and. I got like 250 copies of it printed and just mostly gave the CD away because I was like, here's my CD. This is me in it. You know, this is me. I got my lyrics in the inside.
That's a pretty cool moment though, huh?
Like, it was so cool. I was 19 years old and it was so awesome. And a lot of folks back home where Bennettsville, where I'm from.
Yeah. You're from the same place as Holtzclaw.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yep. He went to the same Christian school that to. He was behind me by a lot, but him and my youngest baby sister were the same age.
I love that guy. That guy is a brother.
He's good. He's a great heart.
And he's put out, he's hustled too. Like he's put out, you know, like no matter how many like streams you might have or whatever, like to me, that's irrelevant.
When you're
out here and you're not like famous and you're not independently wealthy, but you're putting out content like the way he's been doing.
Right.
I respect that endlessly. The same for all those guys.
Are really strong about releasing content. Are.
And for me personally, like you were talking about when you released your album, right?
Yeah.
So I did a 10 song record called Heaven in Disguise when I was 19. So that was like 4 years ago, almost like 4.5 years ago. And you know, I thought that, you know, I thought I was ready. I thought my songs were gold, and they weren't. And I went and released, you know, this album thinking that it was gonna like, you know, be great. And you know, I mean, the quality was good, and the studio I went to was pretty good. I think they price gouged me, to be honest with you. I think they low key took advantage of me. So I haven't really. I've kind of tried to like stay away, but. I've done some business with them in the past, like after that in the past, that even just reconfirmed that thought for me.
Yeah.
So at this moment, like, you know, I have my own little setup at home for like demos and stuff. But like for me personally, like I would like to go somewhere and, you know, record some demos with a guy who like knows what he's doing and make my songs sound like, you know, stuff on the radio. And, you know, because I know that. I feel like my tunes, I feel like they're as good as anything on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
But that's, you know, but it is at some point about, you know, especially in today's, you know, music industry, it is about like production.
Right.
And so I lack that. And I don't think it's that I can't do it. I just don't think I've had enough experience with it yet.
Yeah.
To be honest. And so I kind of want to go to a studio and I want to make something that I feel like has the actual potential to like really move the needle for my career.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to a studio and record a bunch of stuff and spend a bunch of money and then it sound like, you know, like any other recording. Cause I mean, even like the stuff that you recorded, the fact that you got a specific sound that you wanted speaks to your knowledge as an engineer, as a producer, and I respect that a lot.
I appreciate that, man.
And what I want to do, my niche, because I do want to work in, I guess, pop, country, music kind of thing. I do want to work with people who are on the radio and maybe one day be that myself.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to go to a place like Nashville and learn more about that and learn more about what goes into that. So at the moment, I just had a conversation with a couple people. I'm looking at making a trip out there and just kind of hitting the ground and just hitting the pavement and just, you know, putting my ear to the ground and just learning, man.
Yeah.
And just picking up knowledge. And, you know, they say that, like, in Nashville and really especially in L.A., I have a friend in L.A., they say you can get some really good, like, demos done for, like, $150, $200 a pop. Yeah, and it's, wow. Like, so I would like to figure that out. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I still have much to learn about that. But, you know, I'm really anxious to get out there and learn about it, you know, even just on like a week long trip.
Right.
You know, and just do that. And, I guess my spiel, the bottom line of it is like, I just don't want to spend money unless it has real potential to move the needle.
Yeah. You know? That's the thing that's kept me recording here for the last few years, just because anything that I've recorded over the last few years, I've done it myself. We did a cornbread thing with Ed Dennis up in North Myrtle Beach at Atlantic Coast. And, we did that for cornbread, but everything that I've recorded for myself, I've done right here, just because I would get to a point to where if I were in the first few albums, or the first album I recorded and the first few songs after that, I did at a professional studio in right outside of Florence, South Carolina.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Fred Shaw, one of the greatest producers of all time. And I just ended up sitting in there, and I would just spend an entire day on like one acoustic song with a lead track and a vocal and a harmony track. And now I will sit down here at this computer and in one day record 8 songs like I did the other day with lead tracks and harmony tracks. And some of them don't even have that because I don't want the music to get in the way of the song.
Yeah, and I feel you on that.
I don't think that I'll be doing the song any favors by continuously tweaking it a certain way and... But this is all me doing this myself. You know, I had a producer who would say, it's done, you can stop messing with it now, then that might save me another, you know, 2 or 3 hours, you know. But then every now and again, you'll get those guys that I've heard of that'll like, yeah, okay, well, you want to do that? We'll do that. And they won't give their input because they want you to rack up your hours, your time, so that they make more money.
Yeah, for sure.
But absolutely. If I get a producer who would say, hey, this is what you need to do, let's get this done quick as we can to save you time, you know, so we can get the best product. Yeah, then that's how Fred Shaw was, you know.
So, but with one studio I worked with, it was a studio I did my first album at.
Yeah.
So I recently released a song called Whiskey Tears, and I'm just gonna keep it 100 right here, okay? Because this is my first time on a podcast, and
well, I'm glad that it's me.
I'm for sure, man. And I just want to keep it real, okay? I don't think a lot of people heard it. I promoted it a little bit, but if I'm being totally honest with myself, the way that we did Whiskey Tears, I was not, like, totally blown out of the water with how it ended up.
Yeah.
And that's not the fault of, like, the guy who I produced it with. That's not the fault of the people that mixed and mastered it. I feel like it's my fault.
Why is that?
Because I'm the artist. It's my tune. And I should have spoken up more. So we released the tune, and... it just kind of, I don't know, I just felt like I could have done better with it. I feel like I did too much to it, to be honest with you. I feel like it was one of those things where, you know, it could have been my guitar and the girl that sang harmony on it and then my voice.
Yeah.
I feel like it would have been, like, better. And actually, there's a take of it just like that. I did an acoustic album for my senior project at Coastal called Songs by Him that I released a few months ago. And there's a take of it. And I listened to that version and then the fully produced version back to back. And I was like, I like the acoustic book version better.
Yeah.
But so when I sent it to the guys who mix and mastered, I said, you know, look, I went on your website. You said for this amount of tracks in one song, you can do it for $150. So they were like, all right, you know, we'll do it for $150. Because these are people that I'd worked with.
Right.
Like, if we're being real, they've made a lot of money off me because I've been a return customer.
Right.
So you know, we do it, and then they say, oh, well, something's wrong with the piano track. And the guy who I did the song with, Tim, his name's Tim, you know Tim Hardwick.
Oh, yeah.
Tim was the engineer on this tune, and Tim is a great engineer.
Yeah.
Tim does all his own stuff. And I feel like if something was wrong with the piano, Tim would have caught it.
Yeah.
So, but they were like, you know, we can get a keys player in here, and, you know, we can fix it in an hour or whatever. So I was like, all right. So the guy who played keys on it, his name's DeAndre Mack, he lives in Columbia. And at the time, he was in Columbia. So I said, all right, DeAndre, can you go to the studio for me? I'll throw you some cash, and, you know, can you just retry the piano? So then they did, and then they made, like, an extra, like, $100 off me. So then I released Whiskey Tears, right?
Yeah.
And it ended up being more than I thought it was going to cost. So I turn around, and I'm like, all right, I got another tune I want to record and release. So I went to Jam City in Myrtle Beach. Shout out to Daryl Cherry. He's a great guy.
DC's great.
DC's a really good guy and super, like, outgoing and knowledgeable person. But anyway, I went up there. We recorded this tune. And so I think the way that we recorded it, there was something up with, like, the drum track.
Yeah.
But I didn't really, like, it was weird because I didn't really catch it when DC sent me the track.
Yeah.
The raw, you know, unmixed version of it.
Right.
So I was like, you know, all right, I'm happy with this. Let's go ahead and I'll send it off for mixing and mastering, and then it'll sound great. So I sent it off to the studio, and, you know, it was the same situation. And, you know, the guy said, you know, I will, you know, I'm busy right now, but I'll let you know when I can get to it. So 2 days later, I get an email. He drops me a line. He says, hey, Will, we had something canceled, so I went ahead and mixed and mastered your song. So I listened to it, and I was not happy with it at all. And something was up with the drum track. And I'm not going to say that they, like, you know, went in there and messed with the drum track or anything, because I'm not, like, a vindictive person like that.
Yeah.
But it was definitely something off that I did not catch before, and DC didn't catch before, and I sent it to DC.
He would have caught that.
And he and we were in the studio with DC. JP Taylor played on this song from Oracle Blue, so yeah. I feel like and the guy playing drums, he was a really good, you know, he's a really good drummer, and I had done a project with him before that I was really happy with, but there was something off with the drums, and so they sent me this bill for and the bill was more expensive. For them, just mixing and mastering it down was more expensive than the Whiskey Tears mix and master plus studio time for bringing my guy back in there.
Really?
So I called him up and I said, look, I'm not paying this money for something that I'm not going to release. I'm sorry. Like, if we can come up with some kind of agreement here, like, we can figure it out. But I'm not paying you, you know, $400 for something that I'm not going to put out. Like,
yeah.
And I just – that kind of reaffirmed my thought of, you know, some of these studios out here are really – I mean, they can just be out here to make money.
Dude, 1,000%, especially if they're not, like, somebody that you're going to be dealing with regularly.
Yeah.
Like, if it's just somebody who you, like – they feel like you're a walk-in customer.
Well, and see, I was really disappointed by that because I felt like these guys, like, at one point I felt like they were my friends. And I felt like they cared about me as an artist and as a person. But now I'm feeling like they never did. And that hurts. It really does hurt.
It does,
and
man.
Just the fact that I'm a return customer, I've come to y'all with everything I've ever done other than songs by hand, which, you know, DC did, and then Chris Canada mixed it. It just really kind of hurt. And so I had to cut it off. And
you know what, man? You should try to record yourself.
Yeah.
You should just try it. Every time that you want to release a song, I would just record a version of the song with just a raw acoustic version of it and listen to that and see how satisfied you are with it. You might find that you're just happy with that.
Maybe.
Now, I don't know, because when I was probably about, I don't know, I was probably your age when I started doing that. Like, when I started just getting to the point where, you know what, I'm just going to sit down in front of a microphone and just play this song and just figure it out and start producing your own stuff. That way, if you feel like that's why I do this myself, because I feel like if I hear something that I didn't hear to start with, that I've heard it after a little while, and I'm like, oh,
Yeah.
That shouldn't be there. Then I can fix it because I have the masters. I own all of my masters. Yeah. Like I can do anything that I want. I would try that if I were you, man. I would just try to just maybe record some of these things on yourself. Just to see what it sounds like. You don't never know. It might suck to begin with because mine did.
Yeah.
You know, it might suck to begin with, but dude, you just like sharpening that axe, dude, then you won't have to ever worry about that.
Yeah.
Again. And so, anything you make will be profit.
So like there's I have some studio equipment that I had set up in my apartment at Coastal for a while, and there was a spare room that we weren't supposed to have access to, but we had access to it, and I had my studio set up in there for a little while, but then the landlord caught on, and we had to move the studio stuff out of the spare room because it technically like wasn't ours, but I'm probably gonna set my stuff up at the house here soon, and get back to that, because I have a friend of mine, that DeAndre and I, we've done some stuff together at the Wonder House, which is Connor Mills' studio.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I used to kind of be in on that, and so I had a key there, so we would go in there, and you know, we kind of produce stuff together, and I always remember thinking, man, like we work well together, and like we could probably do something together, and so maybe I'll open that door back. I mean,
dude, you got a good ear. You know what sounds right.
For sure.
You know what sounds
good. There's always that internal struggle of like, you know, do I need a producer? Do I need to go to Nashville? Do I need to do this that everybody else is doing, or do I need to just believe in myself and do it on my own and let that? Because that is what a lot of people are doing.
You know,
a lot of guys are. Like the new Tyler. Did you listen to the new Tyler Childers record?
I haven't heard it yet,
dude.
I saw John Prine said it was good. So if he does, then
it's next level, man. It's like that neo bluegrass country kind of thing, and it's But like, I mean, they didn't make that on Music Row. You know what I'm saying? There's no way. Like, so you know, I should think about that more.
Well, that's the thing, man. I've just because I looked at all the artists that I appreciate, man. And I mean, I really love Iron and Wine.
Yeah.
I really love the For Emma Forever Ago Bon Iver album. And all of those guys, like all of my favorite albums of all time, minus Death Cab for Cutie Transatlanticism, were basically recorded by the person. They were recorded by like Iron and Wine. Sam recorded all that stuff himself. And the same with Bon Iver. Like he locked himself in a mountain house and recorded entire album in like in a month in a mountain. Like he just locked himself away and cried and recorded this album.
Yeah.
And all of the people that I really respect musically did that. So I wanted to do that. And that when I realized that like, oh man, these guys released stuff that wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
But nobody's complained about it over all these years.
Well, there's beauty in imperfections, man.
Right, the human element, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
the human element.
That is something that I miss in pop music. And like, I don't know how much like of the radio you listen to.
I don't
today. All right, well then, it's just there's so many different angles from in the conversation we're having, and I don't think any angle is right or wrong. I just think it depends on what you want out of it.
Right.
Like if Connor Mills were to be sitting right there and listen to what I was saying, he'd take your position and probably even more, and he'd be like, dude, you don't need all that. Like you, but for me, like, I guess I've always felt like, man, I feel like I'm in a therapy session right now. This is awesome.
That's what this is for.
Yeah, that's what I was. This is why I was looking forward to this, was having somebody who knows about this kind of stuff and talk it through with somebody.
Right.
So for me, like, I've always kind of felt like I need other people to help me, you know, with things like recording and with things like producing. And it's like, no, like, you can just do it all on your
own. Just try it.
And I think I will.
If it doesn't work, I got
most of the equipment I need. I mean, I've got an interface. I've got studio monitors. I've got a mic.
You got an iPhone, man.
I got an iPhone. There you go. Yeah, I know how to play keys and
download GarageBand on
stuff.
iPhone.
Yeah. Oh, I got it on. I got a Logic Pro,
dude,
on my laptop, and I've done demos like that. I've gotten paid to do demos like that. Like people, you know, for different projects.
Do it,
and
man.
Stuff.
Do that, man. Dude, sail your own ship, dude.
And just sharpen your own tools,
right?
Instead of paying a bunch of money. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing that got me, man. Was just like I wanted. It was more of a necessity thing because I decided early in my life, like, which was probably around your age, to where I was like, you know what, man, if I'm going to do this music thing, I'm going to do it. This is what I want to do. Yeah. So I just, you know, my granddad had passed away a few years beforehand, and my grandmother had a, God rest her soul, had agreed to pay my rent. You know, she hooked me up and helped me out, and she like basically paid my rent for the first like few years of like me playing music.
Yeah.
And like, I just decided, you know what, man, after that, I was like, I'm just going to go for broke and do this thing. And I ended up bartending at Tito's and started just doing music full time.
Yeah.
And thinking, well, now I don't have any money, but I do want to document these songs that I have. So yeah. I just started, dude, I've always had Macintosh products. I've always had Macs. So I've always had access to GarageBand.
Yeah.
And, dude, it's just so simple. And if you use Logic and you're used to that equipment, yeah. man, you can get a good mix, man. Just do the same things that you've learned from going to professional studio sessions. Yeah. Just do it yourself. Well, I do that. I do a scratch track. Yeah. And then,
well, even if you, I mean, you can track everything yourself.
Right.
And then send it to somebody you trust
yeah.
to mix and master, and then just pay them.
Yeah.
As opposed to having to pay for all of it.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
So that's a really good... That's a really great way. I mean, you've definitely opened my mind up to thinking about that. I
definitely do that, man.
So I will definitely explore that. I'm in the middle of moving. I just moved from a coastal club student living up by Coastal Carolina, where I had my college apartment for 2 years, and I just moved from there back to Pawleys Island, where I'm born and raised.
Yeah,
and I'm still kind of unpacking, you know. But
right.
But there was like, I think my parent, I'm living basically in my parents' basement at the moment. And
best place yeah. to record, and it's, man.
There's a bunch of clutter in there. There's a bunch of like my dad's stuff and I need to clear out. But I have a little space in mind that I've been talking to my girlfriend about, that little corner right there, that's going to be my studio. You know?
I just had a vision of you 10 years from now explaining your favorite album ever that you've recorded. And you're like, yeah, man, I was living
in my
parents'
yeah,
basement,
dude.
Man. I just got to this point, you know, and had been jerked around by a couple of record companies.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just, you know, I wanted to do something for myself. And
yeah,
I finally
yeah.
did it, man.
For sure, yeah. I think
that's how it's going to go.
I think I'll do that for sure,
just,
man.
Just I'm reading your cards, man. That's it.
Well, dude, I wanna hear something, man.
Well, yeah, I was about to say we've reached past 4 o'clock. I know you probably want to get to Wahoo's within
yeah.
the hour, so we can. And I've got a meeting coming up at what time?
At 5 o'clock.
What time is that gonna be? Maybe. Yeah, but somewhere around then. But either way, I know you got to get to Wahoo. So,
oh, it's all good, man. I don't start till 6. I'm playing over there tonight with Bryson. And
I'll actually be. I got duty next to you tonight. I'm over at Creek Rats.
Oh, there you go.
So I'll
yeah. Heck yeah, man.
Yeah, man. You were talking about all those cool songs that
yeah
that you've got, man. Do one, dude. That stand will follow you around. It's like, oh man, this is a clean guitar that I'm holding.
All right, I'll play. Let me do a little. All right, so this tune is. Let me tune this thing up. So this tune I'm gonna play. Actually, you know what? I don't know what I want to play, man.
You pick, man. It's up to you, buddy. You're the doctor.
All right,
play what you
want, man. I'll play like my pop song. Is that okay?
Sure. Do whatever you want, man. We got enough time to do a couple, you know. You don't have to do a couple.
All right, so this is kind of my poppy tune. This is a song I wrote, and one of the few ones I've written by myself.
Yeah.
In the last, like, few months. It's a tune called California Gold, and it's funny because...
About barbecue sauce?
No. Is that barbecue sauce?
No, I'm just
California
talking.
Gold? Oh.
No.
That'd be funny.
I'm just messing with you, man.
I'm pretty gullible, so I'm easy to mess with for sure. But I remember hearing, or there's so many different ways that people like write tunes. Like,
right.
I remember, like, obviously you got the Nashville way, you got the
yeah.
Let's have a legal pad and write 2 songs a day and all that.
Yeah.
But then you got like the, you know, like, I don't know if you've ever seen the interview James, or the documentary James of James Taylor from Oprah Winfrey. And he talked about, you know, the best way to write songs is like to be alone for a couple, like be alone for a little while.
Oh yeah.
And if you have like a day, if you like can get out of town and like have a day away from everybody and everything, and you let yourself be lonely and let yourself figure it out.
Yeah.
And then there's like the approach of like, I remember hearing Jackson Browne talk about how like they asked him, like he was coming out with a new album. It was 10 songs. They said, how many songs did you write for this album? He said, 10 songs. And like that approach to writing.
Yeah.
To where like everything that you're writing is meaningful.
Right.
And I kind of feel like I gravitate toward that because especially lately with the busyness, with the college, with the gigs, I don't have time for like throwaway.
Right.
And I do feel like my ideas have been at a good level and at a pretty open higher level where it's like a lot of different types of things going on.
Yeah.
So but this is kind of a pop tune I wrote called California Gold. Girl, I won't lie. From the first time we met, you caught my eye, baby. Caught my eye. And I was surprised by what I didn't expect. We caught a vibe, baby. Caught a vibe. Who had known what would happen? You and me together falling in love. So much more than we imagined is us. Because, baby, you're like California gold. Something rare, so beautiful and bold. And I will thank my lucky stars for you. For you. Baby, you got something that I need. Like a song I just can't help but sing. And I will thank my lucky stars for you. For you, been through some things, shed a couple of tears, but that's okay, baby, that's okay. Through everything, you know I'll always be here. I'm here to stay, baby, here to stay. Who had known it would have happened? You and me together falling in love. So much more than we imagined is us. Because, yeah. Baby, you're like California gold. Something rare, so beautiful and bold. And I thank my lucky stars for you. For you. Baby, you got something that I need. Like a song I just can't help but sing. Stars for you, for you. Girl, we've been patient. The world is waiting, and I wanna see it all. Gotta see it with you. No hesitation. Just put your faith in me, and all I do. Baby, you're like California gold. Something rare, so beautiful and bold. Like a song I just can't help but sing. And I will thank my lucky stars for you. For you. For you.
Yeah. Dude, that's awesome, man.
Thanks, bro. Yeah.
So you do that. I like the slap. I do the slap too, man. Yeah, and yeah, also the cool, you can tell that you play a lot of solo gigs.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Because you're doing the bass line as well.
Yeah, 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 for sure. Trying to like,
I do that too, man. Yeah, right. I love that. That whole little like.
Yeah, yeah. Like I feel like I could. That I feel whole, like
yeah.
I feel like that's one of those tunes that you could just record and maybe playing around with like the guitar tone or something and. Just you and the guitar, you know, and make that a hit, you know?
Yeah, and by the way, that mix, you mixing yourself basically in front of that microphone is, like, that would work for an acoustic version of that song. Like,
well,
that
I might have to buy one of these mics because these sound great, man.
Go see Brother Joey O'Neill and Austin Perry down at 544 Sound System.
I dropped one of my guitars off for Austin at that shop just a couple days ago.
Let's see. I got a bunch of these songs that have check marks next to them that means that they're recorded.
Oh, dude, I've made lists like that. There you go. Yeah, man.
Let's see. Let's see here. I got a lot of stuff, man. So I did a lot of writing right after I quit drinking, and my brain was in a... Can I borrow that capo?
Yeah.
My brain was in a dark place, and I was telling you about the... writing from the viewpoint of, like, a farmer in turn-of-the-century Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So...
It's like a farmer, like, which century? 1900s or yes. 2000s? Okay.
19th century.
Cool.
The 1900s. Yeah. The 20th century.
Yeah. That always messes with me, too, by the way.
The 1900s. So it's, like, right around turn of the century, shortly after the 1900s. And it's, like, I have this rule that I adopted for writing songs that I would never reference anything modern in music. Like... I would always write in a way that if this song was played 100 years ago, it wouldn't sound out of place.
It's interesting.
So, like, that's the way I like to write. But I basically only say that so that you'll understand. I feel like it's easier for me to look at it from a viewpoint, but I plug myself into the situation, and I just quit drinking.
Right.
And none of this stuff happened to me. And it sort of happened to my dad. Like, it's sort of like the way my mom, like, and my listeners know. What up, Kimmy? My listeners know that, you know, me and my mom don't speak or anything like that. I mean, she left me and my dad when I was 2 years old and stuff. So, I mean, my dad kind of had somewhat of this situation happen. But I added so much more to it. Like, this is not, like, that's the only thing that can be close to accurate for this song. This one's right. Called It Ain't Mine. This is a...
I listened to this on... Yeah.
Would you rather hear one that you haven't heard?
No, bro. I'd love to hear this one. I like this one.
Yeah. So, you guys have heard it. You guys know the story. My world apart and flew off up to Kansas before it got too dark. Well, I swear that if I see them in their graves, they'll both lay. But they're hiding up in Kansas where no one knows their name. Saddle he left to me in a jar of folded money buried neath a big oak tree. Well, I tracked them up around Tulsa where they hopped a northbound train, and I swear still if I find them I'll make them feel my pain. Come here. Stack of Bibles tall as me, I swear I'll get my prize. On the banks of Old Red River, under cottonwood I pine, digging me a hole, but it ain't mine. Well, that winter was a cold one, but it brought an early spring. From me, did plenty good come harvest and bought
swear still if I find them, I'll make them understand. Come hell or high water, good Lord willing, the creek don't rise on a stack of Bibles tall as me. I swear I'll get my prize on the banks of old Red River under cottonwood. I pine digging me a hole, but it ain't mine. Well, I heard a man from Detroit making horses out of steel, making easy work of travel. Now my word could be fulfilled. So I drove on up to Kansas in the pouring fucking rain. Didn't leave there till I found them. Now they're buried with my shame. Come hell or high water, good Lord willing, the creek don't rise on a stack of Bibles tall as me. I swear I'll get my prize on the banks of old Red River under cottonwood. I pine digging me a hole, but it ain't mine. Digging me a hole, but it ain't mine. Filling up this hole, and it ain't mine.
Baby, something like that, dude. That is something a great song, man.
Thanks, man.
It really is, dude. Talk about the bass, like the bass lines you're coming up with and stuff, man. Yeah, that's
thanks, man.
I like that, dude.
Thanks for stopping by, Kimmy. Yeah, man. It's I don't know, dude. I really like that. Yeah, it just sounds like dirt. And I want the songs to sound awkward. Like I want them to be like. To make people uncomfortable in a way to where they're like,
right.
You know, I want that.
So what, when you recorded that song, what all is on that tune? Your vocal, your guitar?
Vocal, a guitar, I think I did a harmony track. One harmony track, one lead vocal, one rhythm guitar, or one finger pick, one like lead track. I only think that I played the lead for the spot.
But it's not like drums, bass,
no.
All that either, yeah?
No.
That's awesome, dude.
Well, that's the thing. I don't want to get in the way of the song. I want this to be like, I don't want to do too much that I can't recreate by myself live.
I think that's important. Mm-hmm. You don't want to misrepresent yourself in a studio. I think the other side of that is also you want a song to be naked, but then let right. it, you know, because that's when a song, if a song is totally naked and it still moves people, that's when you know it's a great tune.
Right.
You know, I mean. You know, there are songs like radio songs that are cool songs or whatever, but then you listen to them acoustic and you're just like, ah. But then you got songs like that, or you know Jason Isbell or. You know,
yeah.
I think that's why when you hear like Jason Isbell, you know, especially what was that record he did?
Southeastern.
I mean, there ain't much production wise on that,
dude,
man. And then Chris Stapleton as well.
Right.
He's another guy who. You know, on everything he's put out so far, it's usually like bass, acoustic guitar, maybe an electric guitar track, his wife singing harmony and drums,
right.
And like that's it.
You exactly. Know?
Like I respect, like it's and it's it sounds like he recorded it just in a honky tonk, you know, and like I love that.
I've stolen a lot from those guys. Like I really appreciate the art of those guys that. You know, we'll just let it be. Just send it out there, and this is what we're going to put on it. John Moreland is another one.
Let it be.
Right. Let it be. Just let it be, man. You're Beatles.
Yeah, I love the Beatles, man. You like the Beatles?
Yes, I do.
See, some of the guys who are, like, from the South and stuff, who are really into, like, country and and bluegrass and stuff.
Have you not noticed what those 4/8 tracks up at the top corner up there are?
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I see it. See, but a lot of what I'm finding is people don't like the Beatles here. Some people.
Those people are idiots.
I don't get that.
Those people are idiots. If you don't like the Beatles, you're a dummy. I'm sorry. I'll say it.
I've said it to people's faces too. I'm just like, how can you not like the Beatles? Like,
right.
They're so good. Like their song. Like talk about songs that can just stand. I mean, not only stand alone, but stand the test of time.
I was just about to say earlier when we were talking about like people who let things go. Like I listened to a lot of the Beatles catalog, and I'm just like, dude, this is like a mistake that they left.
Yeah.
But like in Your Blues, when John's voice breaks awfully bad, or not Your Blues, but I Want You, She's So Heavy, when his voice just breaks. But it is perfect. It's perfect that way.
Absolutely. Sorry, man. I ate some Moe's Barbecue earlier. No, I'm burping.
Dude, I've been
burping
all. Shout out
to Moe's Barbecue, by the way. Great
I ate a banana. By the way, I gave a proper description of how to open a banana on Instagram earlier, Facebook, and Twitter.
Well, this one I think you might appreciate. I don't know if you ever listened to Whiskey Tears, but this is my tune, Whiskey Tears. And
right on, man.
The story of this song is I was sitting in my apartment at Coastal, and it took me a while to get over a relationship one time. And so I was sitting in my apartment, and it was just one of those days where it's just like, I don't want to do anything today.
Right.
Like, all I had to do was go to, like, you know, two or three classes, and then I was going to be done, but I didn't even want to do that.
Yeah.
So I called up a friend, and I think I was hammered by noon, and I pulled out my guitar, and we had been listening to Drunkard's Prayer by Chris Stapleton. I don't know if you know that tune. Do you know that song?
I've heard Drunken Poet's Dream by Hayes Carl.
Drunkard's Prayer is a wonderful song. And I was kind of trying to mimic it a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's in four, but I did this little E, you know, 1 to 5 bass line thing.
Yeah.
In 6/8, and I was like, all right, let's write something to this. And had the song written, it was noon, had the song written by, I think, like 3 o'clock. And, you know, when I play this song out, like, people kind of are like, you know, where can I do that? And people kind of know my tunes. They kind of say this is my best one. And I don't know what my best song is. I think that's up to interpretation. But I think this is definitely one of my best ones.
Right on.
But this is called Whiskey Tears.
Cool.
Before I do it, let me tune this thing up. Sorry. I do not. So now we got to tell an awkward tuning story or tuning joke.
Most other songs. This is the song that we play before we play other songs. This is the song that is played most by good artists, by the way. This is other songs sound better after this song is played.
Oh, yeah.
This is the most popular song of all time. The tuning song, that is.
In the words of Kid Drew, we tune because we care.
You know? Yeah. I don't tune because I don't, just so you know.
That's cool though, that you have your own like tuning.
Yeah, well, it moves around. The she's temperamental.
That's cool, man.
Noon on a Tuesday, a bottle of Jack on my desk. Half empty, I bought it this morning, and a fire's in my chest. It ain't from the whiskey, oh no, 'cause this morning when you called my phone, you said don't come around here no more, just leave me my life alone. So I think I'll cry, 'cause I can't hold this pain anymore. And if this is goodbye, let my whiskey tears fall to the floor. Months ago, you were laying in this bed with me. Nowadays, you're taking up stride with a new company. He's the eye. Jones. And this morning when you called my phone, you said, don't you come around here no more, 'cause he makes this house feel like home. So I think I'll cry, 'cause I can't hold this pain anymore. And if this is goodbye, let my whiskey tears fall to the floor. 'Cause you said it's over, tried to hang on, but now you're asleep in another man's arms. So I think I'll cry whiskey tears until the day I'm gone. Now this drink might have gone to my head, but I wish it was you here instead of this number 7 whiskey that just leaves me empty, leaves me for dead. So now I'm gonna cry, 'cause I can't hold anymore. And if this is goodbye, let my whiskey tears fall to the floor. 'Cause you said it's over, I tried to hang on, but now you're asleep in another man's arms. Tuesday, a bottle of Jack on my desk.
Hell yeah. Yeah, man. Dude, those pipes, man. Jesus, thanks, your bro. Voice.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate it, man.
Jesus. I like that one line, too. Took up stride.
Yeah. Nowadays, you're taking up stride.
Taking up stride. Yeah. That's good, man. Sure. I love those little things. Those little, like... those things that, like, people wouldn't get, you know, like, not people wouldn't get, but just, like, certain little just sayings that people
instead of
have.
Saying you're having sex with a new man now, you just say taking up a new company.
Yeah, you know? Right. Yeah, just, yeah. Yeah, man, those are so good, man. I love those little.
I appreciate it, bro.
That's good, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that song hurt, man. That was a hard one, but now I look back on it and I'm like, you know, I don't feel pain anymore when I sing that song.
Yeah.
I remember a point in my life that was very painful and that I probably, you know, was drinking a little too much at that point.
Yeah.
And I call back from that time, you know, when I sing that tune. I remember those feelings, but now I'm so grateful because, you know, my life has gotten better. I'm in a really good relationship, and
yeah.
I'm happy with my job and happy with the direction my life is going in, you know. And I think that when you write songs and when you sing them and you look back on them and you think about a certain point in your time, that doesn't necessarily mean you haven't let it go.
Right.
You're remembering that part of your life and that part of you and that part of you that broke, but then you got stronger. You know, when something breaks, you know, it comes back stronger.
1,000%.
And that part, and I broke as a person. I broke in half. Just my heart, just everything about my life. It was hard, but
I've been there.
You put one foot in front of the other, and you trust that, you know, hey, if I'm doing positive things, I'm doing things I love, which is music, you know. It's gonna work out. You know?
I've got one of those. I've got a heartbreaker tune that I wrote years ago.
Yeah.
That I'm actually putting it out. It'll be the first this album that's coming out. It'll be on this album. That
sweet.
It's called Valentine's Day. I wrote it on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And I was just heartbroken. I was with a girl for 4 years, and you know, I was gonna marry this girl, and I just made some stupid mistakes, and it was all my fault. I screwed up. It was my fault, and I wrote this song called Valentine's Day, and it pretty much, it's a heartbreak song. I really like your chord progressions, man. Like
I appreciate it, bro.
Using chords outside of the box. That's nice.
I like to use those like borrowed chords, like the 5 of 5, the 5 of 6 type things. And
see, I don't know any of that stuff. I don't know what that is.
It's just like, all right, you know how in Hey Good Look, like, let me give you an example.
Oh, yeah.
You know how in Hey Good Looking, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You
know that tune. I know.
Hey, good looking. How's about cooking?
Yeah, yeah.
Right there, like that's like
the
2 major. Like usually in C, that would be D minor.
Oh yeah.
But that's like the 5 of 5 because it's, you know, your 5 in C is G, and so like you call it that, and then that's the 5 of G, and then that's like a borrowed chord. But that's what I get for going to for barely getting through music theory class.
Yeah, I don't know what any of the stuff's called.
Yeah, like,
I don't know.
You just need to be able, you just need to be able to hear it, bro, and you can.
Yeah.
Just,
well, I mean, that's the thing. I play by ear, so like I've just adopted that. But yeah,
there you go, bro. Yeah.
Yeah, this is one called Valentine's Day. This is my heartbreak tune.
Awesome.
How's it start? Shit, I can't remember the name, the first words. You ever do that?
Oh, yeah.
Forget your own songs?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It happens, bro. Dude, take your time. It's all good.
I got it.
There you go.
Goodness. She don't come round here no more, and I won't speak her name, 'cause I won't disregard my pride and expose my shame. Could've ended better, and the Lord knows that is true, but I'm the one to blame this time, and I have no excuse. It's easy to say that it'll be better tomorrow, but every day it brings a whole new set of sorrows. I'd like to think that one day soon I won't have these problems and be stuck with no way to solve them. Gone and I pushed her away, a mistake I made for sure. The weight of all this emptiness pulls heavy at my core. Now I sleep about half the day, 'cause I'm up most all night. It's kind of hard to fall asleep without someone to ease my mind. It's easy to say that it'll be better tomorrow, but every day it brings a whole new set of sorrows. I like to think that one day soon I won't have these problems and be stuck with no way to solve them. It's easy to try and feel sorry for myself, but how should I feel when I know it's my fault and there's no one else?
think of what might have been. Come to think, there's no reason for thinking at all. It'll be better tomorrow, but every day it brings a whole new set of sorrows. I'd like to think that one day soon I won't have these problems and be stuck with no way to solve them. It's easy to try and feel sorry for myself, but how should I feel when I know it's my fault and there's no one else to blame or what might have been? What might have been is gone, and it's all my fault. All my fault. All my fault.
Yeah, man. It's a nail on it, bro. I like that a lot. It's gonna be on my fault. That's gonna be on the record.
Yeah, that's gonna be the oldest one that's on there. That one's like, that one's ancient compared to the rest of them, man. Like, I wrote that. Dude. I wrote that probably. That was like one of the first personal songs I really wrote, like ever. I wrote that one back home when my grandmother was still living. You know.
That's a good one, man. Are you going to have like an album release show or anything like that?
Yes.
I'd love to come to it.
Yes. I don't know where or when. I've got the artwork done for the album. I've got everything's already done, man. I've even got the artwork for the actual vinyl, the inserts. So I'm doing vinyl as well. And I've got everything's done except the music, but I think the music's done too. I was going to put some fresh ears on it and listen to it all over again and see if anything needed to be changed at the last minute. But I think that it's done, man. I want to kind of leave it like that.
So is it mostly like broken down acoustic, like no drums?
Yeah.
Okay. No bass, just like acoustic guitars and and vocals and harmonies. And that's awesome, man. I'm probably going to do something like that again soon. Yeah. That's like the most raw way. I mean, I totally appreciate like great bands who have awesome grooves, but and all that. But like for me personally, I'm not like, you know, a funky guitar player. I'm not like, you know, and I don't really have a desire to like do that type of music per se. Even though I can appreciate it and I can support my friends who do that.
Oh yeah,
I want to make a clear distinction between the two. But my gig, my passion is hearing great songs and writing great and being a part of great songs.
Right.
And my favorite thing to do is go to venues like, you know, Eddie's Attic in Atlanta or the Evening Muse in Charlotte or, you know, listening rooms and listening to people, you know, in either just solo acoustic or broken down acoustic kind of setups and listening to songs in that format. And I love it. And I think that, you know, I can't wait to hear your record, man. It's going to be,
dude, I appreciate
it's going to be great, dude. You got some good songs.
Same,
for sure.
Same to you, man. I want to hear you.
Yeah, yeah. For
like
sure.
Like you, all of you, like just your mix, your recording. I want to hear you.
Yeah. I think I'm going to do it. My girlfriend, Chelsea, she was just talking to me about that like yesterday.
She's right.
Yeah. I think, you know, she's just like, you know, you should think about doing another acoustic thing. Cause you know, and I, you know, I actually, when I did songs by hand, that was inspired by Brian Russler.
Yeah.
He did Damn the Consequences.
Right.
Great album.
Dude, it's so
like
good.
All acoustic. I think he said he played keyboard on like one song, but I mean, to me, that's still acoustic, you know, it's not like throwing drums and electric drums on it or anything, but
I like throwing weird sounds into stuff like Tom Waits almost. You know how Tom Waits, I don't know if you ever listened to Tom Waits.
I've heard of Tom Waits.
I don't know if you ever listened to him, but he's just like, some of his drums could be just a beating on a table and banging wrenches together.
That's really cool.
That's
so
what he
like
does.
Stuff like that, or like the sounds of nature. Like what kind of sounds are you talking about?
I'll throw like storms.
Yeah.
Behind the stuff. Like, I throw rains, like a thunderstorm.
Yeah.
That underlies the track of, like, most of the, a lot of the stuff that's I've badass. Done. Just throw a thunderstorm in there underneath everything.
That's and, so cool. You just, like I'll raise YouTube it. Or,
yeah.
or what?
Yeah. And I'll just raise it and lower it throughout the song just to make it more prominent and stuff like that. Or, Ballad of the Unlucky Man that I did, like, I put my banjo picks and like three or four dice in a whiskey jar, a whiskey glass, and just like use that as a shaker.
That's so cool.
And there's like,
I'm gonna do shit like that, man.
Dude, it's just, that's the power of the power of having your own control to just fuck or play around with stuff. I'm trying. I know we got folks watching. I'm trying to manage my words a little bit better.
I keep forgetting we're on a podcast.
That's good.
I'm really like I told you before, man. I'm really like I was so looking forward to the opportunity to just come here.
Well, I'm glad
and talking to another musician because like I said, I don't really get to sit down. And talk, I mean, like, Brian, I talked to him a good bit, but a lot of times it's just texting. And the last time I really had a meaningful conversation with him was when I, so I'll tell you this story real quick. A couple of weeks ago, I played a double, I think I did an early gig, and then I played at Good Time Charlie's. I do Charlie's every Friday night, except one per month where I play at Island Bar Surfside. But anyway, I did this gig at Charlie's, and, it was 7 to 10, and it was, like, after a double. And then Brian hit me up, and he was like, hey, like, I have this show at Atlas. You know, do you want to jump on it? The guy who I was with on it, he had to cancel.
Yeah.
And I jumped on it, and I was so tired, and I was so ready to go home. But, like, when he hit me up about it and I went, I was just like, yes. And, like, I got to play, you know, 45 minutes of my own stuff and not feel like I had to play Wagon Wheel or, you know, anything like that. And I just went and... I got to play some of my stuff and play some of my new stuff and get his feedback on some of my new stuff.
Yeah.
I listen to him and it's always great hearing him. So, cause it's just an experience. It's a whole vibe. And then listen to some of a couple of his new tunes, which were really good.
Yeah.
And, and then we chopped it up at the bar and, we're just hanging out and, you know, it's really cool. I think that us as Myrtle Beach musicians, we should start some sort of like monthly thing where we like all meet up at like a bar or like somewhere.
The monthly meetup, that would be a bad thing.
The monthly meet or something like that. Yeah. Just or like, you know, like I was thinking about because where I'm living at, I'm gonna have the house to myself in a couple months. And I was thinking about, you know, doing like a barbecue or kind of bring BYOB and, you know, everybody bring a bag of chips or some cookies or something. And then I'll do like, you know, I can make hamburgers or get barbecue or something and then like have a big like hang and just, you know, like whoever wants to get up and play a few, they can. And or maybe do like a writer's round or maybe something not even as like, you know, organized as that, just something like a hang. Like, you know, if you're there, get up there and play five songs. Or if Jeremy and Corinne are there, get up and play five songs.
Right.
Or, you know, whoever, you know, and just, you know, and just hang out. And I would really love that because I think I feel like we do have a good community.
We do.
There are like people with professional and personal differences as there are everywhere. I feel like our music community is overall pretty supportive of each other.
Right.
And, you know, the people that aren't that way, they're not a part of it. You know what I'm saying? But I totally like for me personally, like I've gotten so much love from, you know, Brian and you know, Sweet Sweet has shown me love because me and Brian, we did a writer's round with Sweet Sweet at the Pit last year. And ever since then, they were just like, you know, like me and Jeremy will talk every now and again. And, you know, my girlfriend is a huge fan of them and I'm a huge fan of them. And like, just and Brian and just, you know, I'll find myself listening to their music like all day.
Oh, dude.
And just out of nowhere and just be like, man, it's so cool that like people I look up to musically are like my friends, you know.
Dude, Jeremy and Corinne, I've seen Bullfrog forever. I've seen Potato Heads forever. The first time I saw Sweet Sweet ever, I walked up to Jeremy and I was like, this is you.
Yeah.
This is you. Like, I know the other stuff is great. But this is you, man.
Yeah.
This is you.
And me personally, like, I'm still trying to find that. You know, I'm still trying to find, like, what is me to the core? Like, what is something that...
I think I just saw it.
Yeah?
Yep.
Just me and my guitar?
Yep.
That's such a lonely road, but I can
no,
take
it's not.
It. No, you don't think so?
No.
No? Some of the gigs do get lonely, but then on the other hand, it's also a matter of perspective because I'm not trying to play those gigs.
It looks forever. And seems lonely.
Yeah.
It looks and seems lonely, but it's not. Because, yeah. like, that's, but maybe it's different for me because I give inanimate objects personalities.
Really?
Yes.
I like that.
So I give inanimate objects personalities. So it's like, it's never alone because I have this beautiful girl here with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I was about to say, man, that guitar is beautiful and it looks like it's been through, you know, everything
I've put
that
her
you've
through
gone
hell.
Through. Yeah.
I she mean, has. We've been yeah. through everything that we've been through it together.
How long have you had her?
2004.
What's her name? Did you name her?
Taylor.
Taylor?
She came with a name tag.
I got you. I named mine Victoria because she just looks like a Victoria with, I don't even know why. My cousin's name is Victoria. And
oh, you mean like a, I don't know how to go.
Don't know why. Oh, are you kidding me? By. You know how to play that song?
Or like, I
love that.
I used to know it.
John Mayer,
I used to
bro.
Know it, man. That old John. That's that,
that's a great
okay.
John. And that's when John Mayer.
Do you
was,
remember that album?
I do remember that album. That's
you know
Inside Wants Out. Right?
Inside Wants Out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude, that whole album is like that's another one I could add to that Iron and Wine, dude. I'm pretty sure he recorded it, you know, like
yeah.
very. I think he went somewhere to record it, but it was very stripped down.
Yeah,
that
he
one.
Did like, he did like back to you. I think he did Back to You with drums.
Yeah.
I think that was it. Even No Such Thing was just him and another guitar track. I think.
Just remember that time at the market.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or like. This one, it's yeah, dude. Yeah, yeah, you got it. Yeah, dude. Oh yeah, you play it way better than I do. Yeah, dude. John Mayer, like, so if I'm being real, and I'm gonna, I don't know how I'm gonna sound saying this, but I don't want to put anybody like, or not appreciate anybody, but I actually like, I feel like me personally. There are very so John Mayer is known as like a blues guitar player, right? Above everything,
yeah.
right? Is that fair to say? Even though he's got hits.
Now, yeah. well, to the majority of his
yes, to people
yes.
who don't know, like aren't avid fans
right.
of John Mayer, right? So I am actually I like John Mayer. I like his songs.
Me too.
So
I like his voice.
Like, I love his guitar playing, and his guitar playing is amazing. But
yeah.
I think because I'm like more of a songwriter than like a blues guitar player, I think I'm like amazed and in awe and appreciate more of his songwriting. And I
right.
think that that's not something that gets appreciated as much by him.
Absolutely.
And like when he like his album like Born and Raised, you know,
I
album?
Haven't heard that one yet.
Dude, you need to look.
The last album
song,
of his I heard was Continuum.
Dude, really?
Yeah.
All right, so you definitely have some John Mayer homework to do.
Well, see, this is the thing. I don't listen. I see him through Instagram. Like
yeah.
I follow him on Instagram because he does those Instagram
yeah.
live
yeah,
videos
yeah.
and stuff. I really like streamers. I like to watch
yeah.
people who do what I do. You know, because
yeah, yeah,
I mean, I'm
for
a,
sure.
I'm a streamer. And by
for
the
sure.
way, I was thinking about this earlier when you were talking about wanting to have like meaningful conversations. You should start a podcast.
I
say
should.
This to everybody who comes in here. To everybody, just start a podcast.
It seems easy. I mean, you just need an interface, a couple microphones, and
yep. But, well, you need an iPhone.
You know, iPhone
to start with. This is
right here.
This is 2.5 years in.
Yeah,
you know, I started this thing in. I say 2.5 years. It's probably not been that long. I started this thing in like middle of 2017, so 2 years in. So like this is me at 2 years in, dude. When I first started, I was using my equipment that I gig with.
Yeah,
you know,
it's an SM58 and
yep.
Do you
yep.
like run it through a program or anything, or like
just GarageBand? I upload through. You can upload through SoundCloud, dude. YouTube, just YouTube. Anything.
How do you live stream it through
YouTube? I have this Mevo camera that's
yeah,
really
yeah.
really cool. I say it's actually Cornbread's. I'm
yeah.
just I hog it all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
But the Mevo is great, and I used to be able to go live on my phone, but they upped
yeah.
the ante to where you have to have 1,000 subscribers, and I'm like. 300 and something.
Yeah.
So we're 700 out from still 600 and something out from being
yeah.
able to go live on the phone. But you have a laptop with a webcam.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk to Connor about OBS.
Yeah, I'll talk to him. That sounds like fun.
If you see Connor, dude, just ask Connor about OBS. He's the one that turned me on to that.
Yeah.
And I started streaming just from my computer here. And, dude, you were talking earlier. He's like, this feels like therapy.
Yeah, bro.
That's what this is for me.
This is great.
This is therapy for me.
Yeah.
I have problems in my head. Just even this random conversation that we've had, I've talked about problems that I have. Don't even think about really, but that for this sure. is just a huge, huge difference from my mental health. I've noticed a difference. And also you said earlier that you're happier now. Do you feel like that might, you said earlier also that you haven't felt as confident in writing alone lately. Do you feel like that's why you want to write with somebody else? Because you kind of might need that angst in you to write by yourself, or that pain almost, and you're not as hurt as you weren't once were, and now you feel like maybe that's
maybe
altered it a bit,
maybe a little bit. But to be honest with you, I feel like a lot of it is because of the busyness.
Yeah,
you know, trying to do college and do 18 hours and then play gigs a lot. I mean, like
burnout. For
I
sure.
was yeah, and I just you know, and it was tough because I was a music major too.
Right,
so everything in my life that was causing me any amount of stress or, I guess, pressure.
Yeah.
You know, pressure professionally to not mess this gig up because I need to keep this relationship right so I can keep, you know, playing gigs and making money. Or I need to do well in this music theory test, this ear training test, because, you know, this is my fifth year of college and I don't want my parents to have to keep paying money for me to go to school. You know, like, so it was just like, I think it was that. There was a while where, especially when I was at Belmont, I was writing every day. I was sitting down for an hour and getting something out, whether it was a few lines or a chord progression or a whole song or whatever. I was getting something out. So I've been trying to get back into that because of, you know, and it's all about finding that balance between your gig life and your real life. So for me, like, I've picked up fishing. I used to fish when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I picked it back up and, you know, catching, you know, little redfish and flounder and, you know, whatever. You know, I caught a dang on lizard fish the other day, and they're ugly looking things.
Lizard fish.
Yeah, lizard fish, bro. You ever saw one of them?
I have not.
Yeah, it's literally just like a lizard with like gills and fins. It's weird looking, but caught one of those, and you know, but you know, just trying to find that balance, man, between like, you know, because I mean, I feel like anything, too much of anything, you know, you can burn yourself out.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's. So, I mean,
even something you love.
Exactly. But I also think on the flip side of that, getting through those times to the next moment where you're just like, all right, this was worth it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
And like for me, like playing at Atlas with Brian the other day, like that was one of those moments where it's like, all right, I've played 25 gigs in a row that, you know, you're really just like, well, there's a paycheck. You know what I'm saying? I played a lot of those in a row where, and then you're just like, it gets you through to that time where it's like, all right, let's play a room where, you know, people are listening. And even if people aren't listening, you know, I had Brian sitting there listening to me, and I know Brian cares, and I know Brian's going to, you know, appreciate the work that I put into a tune. And then but then on the other hand, I think that's why we should all get together as a music community once per month, because I think that we all appreciate each other and the work that all of us put in to our own original outlets.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be super cool, and I think it would do a lot of good for everybody and everybody's heart, everybody's spirits, as a community as a whole.
It'd be cool to get all the introverts together.
Yeah, bro, and just listen to tunes, man, and like just talk about life and, you know, everything, man. You know, that's why, like, walking in today, I was like, I have no idea what we're about to talk about. But like I didn't really know. I still don't really know you that well. But I feel like I've definitely gotten to know you a little bit just from my conversation.
Well, this is me, man.
Yeah, bro. And just listening to your songs and like, you know, this has been dope. But
yeah, man. I know you've got to get out and go to Wahoo. But we're gonna wrap this thing up, and we'll definitely do this again
sure. And but before we do, you have to listen to Born and Raised, the album by John Mayer.
Okay,
you would love it. It's got that because he went off and did like a country folk. Like, he went through that whole phase. Like a Neil Young, Bob Dylan phase.
Okay.
And it's like all his, like the chord progression of the songs are very, like, you know, like cowboy G chord, C, D, you know, and it's not the fancy chords.
I love that stuff, man.
It's just like,
I love that
stuff. Yeah, so listen to that, man. I think you would really love it. Yeah.
Cool, man.
Yeah, bro.
Brother Will Ness, ladies and gentlemen. All right. So where can the folks find you once again on the social media? Let's do that.
Social media, at Will Ness Music on Instagram, Will Ness Music on Facebook. But if you just add my personal page on Facebook, I post more on that.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I'm at Habaneros in Pawleys Island every Tuesday from 6 to 9. Good Time Charlie's on Wednesdays and Fridays.
Yeah.
From 7 to 10, and then Duplin Winery in North Myrtle from 1:30 to 4:30 on Thursdays. Those are my residency spots. I got a bunch of other random gigs.
Right on.
Those are my home bases, I guess
you can say. Now, which one of your social media do you post the most of your shows on? Your personal page, probably?
Probably like my Facebook and Instagram. My personal Facebook and Instagram. I need to get better about my music page on Facebook.
Dude, I've got it just to have it, but I've noticed I reroute everybody to my personal page, too, because I'll repost everything I do on my music page and my personal page anyway.
Well, you see why people have teams to do these things.
Right.
It's hard to balance, you know, booking, promotion, and be there to perform the show. Right. Write your own material, learn more new material.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot to balance. A lot of hats we wear as musicians. You know?
It is. Those folks don't know a lot about all that stuff.
They don't. Music is a job, folks. It's a full-time job.
It is a job.
But this has been fun, man. I really appreciate you being here, man.
Yeah, we'll definitely be doing this again. I have a few more guests that are going to be coming in soon, a couple of surprise guests for you. And there's going to be more episodes being released recently. The last couple weeks have been crazy for me, so once again, I'm sorry I haven't been releasing as many episodes as I have been in the past over the last week or so. Please forgive me for that, but we'll be remedying that very soon. So be sure to click subscribe on the YouTube channel, and that way you'll be notified whenever I do go live, or just subscribe on Apple Podcasts or anywhere podcasts are available. And if you wouldn't mind, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave a review on the Apple Podcasts app, if you wouldn't mind, or on Google Play, wherever you download podcasts, please leave a review on that website, because I get more statistics after the more reviews I get, the more statistics I get. And I would just like to know, I'm curious, I'd like to know more numbers. So please do that. Please go to mistuffpodcast.com for all of the most recent YouTube videos and most recent episodes. There are links to the podcast, social media at the top of the page on the homepage of the website. And then if you guys want to go to the about/music section, there are links to my personal social media at the top of the page. And there are also links to download the 4 singles that I've released on the That Way Lies Madness record that's going to be coming soon. And yeah, we're going to be raising some money over the next couple weeks, get vinyls pressed. So be on the lookout for that. Do I have anything else to say? I don't think I got anything else for you guys. Brother Will, any final thoughts for the folks?
I just appreciate you having me on, man. This was a great conversation, man. Really,
it was indeed.
Really loved it, man. I've been needing to have something like this, so this was fun, man.
We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, Buzz, appreciate you sitting there watching, Buzz. Thanks, man.
Much love.
Buzz is good people.
Oh, yeah.
Buzz is great people. Tell Ginger I said hello, Brother Buzz. All right, so I'm going to let you guys go ahead and get on with your lives and get on with your business. In a world full of shitty people, don't be one of those people. Be a good person. Peace, bitches.